Podcast 101. Thank you so much for downloading the podcast from Italy, episode number 101. My name is Jason. Good morning. Joined by my wife, Ashley.
Ciao tutti.
And together we live here and are sitting amidst the beauty and splendor in Piobico, Italia. We run, own, and operate La Tavola Marche, an agriturismo cooking school located in central Italy. Living the dream.
You know it.
Doing it. Buona Domenica. Happy Sunday to all. Even if you're not listening to this, I was told recently that you shouldn't, or I heard recently, that you shouldn't say on a podcast or on a show, on a recorded show, what the date or time is, because people don't listen to that necessarily when you're doing it, and then it takes them out of the moment. But I don't care. I like to know.
I feel like it gives you a point of reference, especially since we're so sporadic at these at times. It gives you an idea of
So yeah, I can do whatever I want. I'm holding the microphone. You're the silly one who downloaded and listened. So today is the 7th of May. It is 8:33 in the morning on a cloudy Sunday.
I don't know. This spring has been lackluster.
We've got Vortice Igor in azione.
Damn Igor won't leave us alone.
So the Italian weather people start naming the different pressure systems that come through. And this time we've got Igor.
Igor
is bringing one of my favorite words, nubifragi. I love the word nubifragi, like storms, like tempeste. Storms, but the word nubifragi just sounds fun to me.
I like it too.
So we've had unstable weather for the last couple of weeks, and it has not been spring. It's been glimpses of spring followed by holy crap, I've got thermal and a wool sweater on, yeah. And we lit the fire in the fireplace last night. So
yeah, May 5th, we lit the fireplace with wool sweaters on. The last podcast we did, snowstorm in April. I am afraid that not only for some of those fruit trees, but we've been looking at the bushes that Jason pruned hard and then Gaji came back and killed.
No.
Well, they were starting to shoot and now they're all the tips are burned. So I don't know. Some of it, I am still nervous. It's really got to warm up and let things bloom.
Yeah. It's been a cooler than normal, I would say, early mm-hmm. spring. Well, I mentioned at the top of the podcast, this is podcast 101. We didn't even realize last podcast was podcast 100, which we would pat ourselves on the back, except it's taken us like 8 years to get there.
We don't even know when we started this, to
be
honest.
I'm just guessing that we started year two-ish.
But this is classic. We had no idea. And then, hey, that's 100 podcasts. We should have mentioned that. Whatever.
Not really. It's not even one a month.
No.
So, podcast 101, you're listening to it right now.
How long
now.
Is it going to take to get to the next 100?
Never happen. We had a busy last few weeks. Season got kicked off. We had the yoga ladies came down, and the weather was...
It was great. It was a group from Ramstein, military wives and military women, and they came down for a weekend of yoga, and it was a blast.
Yeah, they had okay weather. Mm-hmm. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't great, and I think they had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did, after that, a bottling wine program, and bottled some wine and ate a ton of food and did a ton of cooking classes, so... now we have a tiny little break, and it's good because we are restocking up. It's time to do all the restocking of our for the season. I don't want to have to go out and get obviously we're going to have to get stuff as the season goes on, but the big bulky stuff.
And like the IKEA trip.
Trip. So that's what we have done in the last few days. The chickens came back. Rustino.
Rustino is back. Our sweet little half gallo, our half rooster, who's a mini rooster, spent part of the winter at our neighbor Carolyn and Luke's. And it was time to bring him back for the new batch of hens this year. Jason ordered 18 hens. And let me tell you, Roosty is one happy man down there. He is he's got the cock of the walk or whatever. There's all these different rooster and chicken sayings, and it fits of all. And it's adorable because if you take a quick glance, you won't find him in the mix because the women are all the hens surround him, and he's the same size, if not a bit smaller than some of them. And his body size is definitely smaller than their bigger butts and stuff. But from day one, he started telling them I don't know. They spoke his language, whatever it is.
He's trained them because normally it takes, we keep them inside of their coop for the first couple of weeks when they're young. We get they're called ovaiole or egg laying hens. And
they're not little chicks.
They're not
people
chicks.
People get confused. They're a couple months old.
You can get chicks. You can just let the eggs get fertilized and incubate them yourself. I don't want to deal with all that. So we get them once they've lost their yellow feathers and they have their adult feathers. That's when we get them. And depending year to year, because we kill them all we kill them all in the fall and eat them.
What the animals around here haven't taken first.
So they usually take anywhere from 2 weeks to a month to start laying. And they're babies, so you have to keep them in their coop to let them know this is home, and then we let them into the outer coop, and then finally let them just walk around. Otherwise, if you just let them out right away, they never come back. They just get scared. They'll run into bushes. They'll just take off.
We're just too much out in the woods.
Yeah, we don't have fencing around our – there's just open property. So Rustino's great because we left him in there, I don't know, 3-4 days. Yesterday or the other day, we let him out for the first time. He showed the ladies what to do, and they go back to bed every night
by themselves.
They are
7
great.
O'clock, all 18, plus Rustino in the roost, and he's commanding it, and Gaji loves it. He's small, but he's forte. He's strong, and he goes, that's what I say. That's what I always say, because that's Gaji.
So why we're so big on Rustino is we call him a mezzo gallo, and Gaji hates that because he's not a half a rooster. He's just a small breed of rooster, and it's great because we've talked about this before, but he's not aggressive because the regular roosters, once they get fully grown, they tend to get aggressive, especially with little kids. Not Rustino. He is a gentleman.
He is, and just not intimidating or aggressive. So we are happy to have him home, and the coop is – he's taking care of it down there. He's El Capo for sure. Speaking of El Capo, Gaji's raring to go.
Yeah, next week. So even though it poured the last couple of days, Gaji has warned me next week. Beppe Bianchini, who starts our tomatoes and our onions, has said they are ready. So next weekend, he asked me, what are you doing next weekend? I don't know why. That's a loaded question.
Let's clear the calendar.
Clear the calendar. So we'll be putting down next weekend our Gaji's already put down like 150 onions because he's just 80, like he can't wait. But the majority of the onions will have 400 or 500 this year, and the majority of the tomatoes, another 400. Then I have Carolyn's tomatoes coming, which are the fancy ones.
That's our neighbor down the road.
So the garden will be getting going whether Mother Nature is going to cooperate or not.
Got you till bent. Classic out there. Zappa. How do you call Zappa?
A hoe.
Hoeing the,
he was hoeing mud yesterday.
Exactly.
It's like, I hoed all the potatoes. The potatoes have sprouted and they're, I don't know, tiny, right?
Yeah.
And it's just been raining constantly.
And that land is clay-like down there.
Yeah, it's really heavy. So superficially, right at the top, because the window, you know, the rain will come through and then the window blows. So superficially, when you look out there, it looks dry. But as soon as you put a hoe into the ground, it's just wet.
Well, your weight.
Yeah. So he's out there hoeing all the – it's like, just wait, man. It doesn't need to be hoed right now. You know it doesn't need to be hoed either. You are just bored.
Yep, he is chomping at the bit.
So classic gotcha. So I'm excited. The garden will go in. We'll get this party rocking. The season will get going, and the sun will come out. I know it. Part of what we've done in the last few days is we haven't. I still drive our little crappy red car every day, and our brand new little delivery van has sat there for a month without being driven. So we hopped in the car to go down south. We went down to Puglia. And I wanted to – mainly it was to get this cheese called Caciocavallo, which is a provolone. It's shaped like a bell. It's one of my favorite cheeses. And it comes from down there. And also we wanted to pick up some wine and some olive oil and just – I don't know.
Take a drive south.
Take a drive south. It's not that far. We're talking 5 hours in the car. Not a big deal. other people around here is like, why are you?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? It's like, I don't know. I wanted to go drive our car for, you know, we'll be gone 24 hours.
Take her out on the open road. Light her up. Get to sixth gear.
Get it on the highway. So it was really fun.
Driving south, we forgot as we are driving into Southern Marque. First of all, our area is so beautiful. I mean, we start to sound like homers, but it's hard to leave La Marque. It's so beautiful. Our rolling hills and the foothills of the Apennines, and it's green and the mountains to the sea. And as we were driving a couple hours along the coast past Ancona, because we're never past Ancona, which is about an hour and a half south of us on the coast, on the Adriatic, we go through a series of tunnels and come out on this hill, kind of on this nice ridge, and just overlooking both the sea to the left and the Sublini Mountains to the right.
Well, you keep and talking. I'll give them exact
spectacular, kind of near Porto Recanati, I think. And
the Southern Marque, the Sublini Mountains are beautiful. And this is over there in those mountains is kind of where all the earthquakes have been going on in the last year.
But it is spectacular. And it was just a great reminder when we get out of our area how beautiful Italy is, and that it is. God, we've been here 10 years and there's so much still to explore.
It's kind of by south of Ascoli is a little bit inland, but before Pescara.
Mm-hmm. It was just stunning. And then we continued down the coast, and we thought for the first night, let's break it up. And we stayed in the spur, if you will, which is called Gargano. It's a national reserve or forest and park. I can't read it from here.
National Park of Gargano. It's literally the spur before you get to the heel.
So what's really interesting is at the top of that spur, I've never seen anything like this. There's two lakes.
Lago di Lesina and Lago di Verano.
And I don't even know how to explain it. They're right on the Adriatic. So there is a thin piece of land separating the lake to the Adriatic Sea.
Something tells me there's a word for that type of geography.
I am sure, but it's really quite beautiful down there. And we stayed in a sweet little fishing village in Lesina, and had a nice sunset and walked around. It was, of course, when you travel in this time of year in Italy, these kind of towns, it was deed.
It was deed.
Deed. We are obviously the only tourists, and we horribly still speak English to each other when we're walking around for the most part. So we stick out like a sore thumb at times. But luckily, one restaurant in town was open. And we had a great fish dinner. And then we hit the road first thing to start looking for cheese.
Because
this is one of the areas where the Caciocavallo is from. And
we were originally going to do the tour of the spur around the coast. But then we stopped. Where did we stop?
We stopped in Rodi Gargano, and that is on the
not Gargano.
Yeah, it was
Gargancio.
Oh,
Garganico.
Oh shit.
God, so,
so don't look that up. but we go and we have a little breakfast, walk around town for a coffee and think, okay, well, this will be a first stop to start looking for cheese and start putting out the vibe and find out where to go. And we meet this really outgoing fruttivendolo.
Fruit and vegetable sales guy. First of all, down there, no matter where you go, I mean, the vegetables at this time of year are beautifully, insanely cheap and absolutely gorgeous. There are peas and artichokes and garlic and everything everywhere. You have people who just are selling it out of the, like, not just a few, a ton of people just selling fruits and vegetables out of the back of their car. There, every fruit and vegetable shop you go into in any of these towns,
no matter how small or dead the town looks,
gorgeous,
and empty these, or kind of like, oh, this looks a little sketchy. Yeah, we're in Southern Italy. Yeah, the produce is outstanding.
Apes, the little three-wheel cars with the back just piled with artichokes. I mean, it was...
That cost nothing.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
So we met the fruttivendolo, and he had some great forms of the Caciocavallo in his shop. And we start talking to him, and first of all, he's excited we're American and everyone has to ask us about Trump, which is like, oh, Jesus. But he said, here's where to go. You could continue around the spur if you want, but backtrack just a little and head straight into the
National Park,
into the center of the spur. And that is where the heart of the cheese comes from. And visit an agriturismo or just head into town and you will find what you're looking for. So quick change of plans.
We go back from the coast a little bit inland, hit up the Superstrada back towards kind of the middle, and then take this beautiful drive up into the park and up to the top of...
It was gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. And
there was the cows that were roaming free.
Yeah,
traffic.
We had to stop three or four times so we didn't hit giant cows.
We weren't sure about filming and photographing them because their horns are huge. And we're also in a brand new car. Like, I don't know. I know it's a delivery car, but it's our fancy new car. So we kind of tried to just give them their space.
So we stopped in San Giovanni Rotondo. Mm-hmm. Okay, so right in the middle of the park is a town called San Giovanni Rotondo.
Tell them what happened.
So we have this place for like the place to go get the Caciocavallo cheese. And we walk up and down in this little town, the main drag, and it's number 45 or something.
We walked past it probably 15 times. I don't know.
Because we're thinking it's a shop.
Yeah.
Or it's a... like somewhere where they make it, or I don't know what we're looking for because the information out there. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to go to the place where they make it because I want to go see it being made. I want to see it hanging everywhere. And that's hard to do because down there, you can't just pull out your phone and Google it. Like, mm-hmm. It just doesn't work that way down there. The hours of operation aren't what they're listed. They might be closed that day.
There might
not be any sign. It's just down this road. You have no idea. So we're kind of trying to do something that...
We didn't plan it.
And we didn't plan it. We just hopped in the car and went and mm-hmm. just started trying to figure it out on the way down.
So, we have this address and it's like... Shoot, well, there's some women in front. We finally find the door, but it's like, what the hell?
It's just like a residence.
A residence. What? I don't understand. And these three women are standing outside talking, and it was like, excuse me, do you know if so-and-so, if this is the business of Caciocavallo, of da-da-da-da-da, Giuseppe, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, yes, this is it. And I look again, I'm like, not even the buzzer has the name of anything on it. And she said, but it's only by appointment. And it was like...
And then I start thinking, how good is this cheese? You need to make an appointment.
I know. I think it's where they age it. And so, of course, I call and I talk to the wife and she says, oh, sure. Absolutely. At about 9:30, 10 in the morning. And she says, no problem. We can meet you at like 4:30. And it was just like, oh, Jesus. Well, excuse me. I've got horrible allergies. We think, all right, well, we're not waiting around till 4:30. So we keep walking around, and sure enough, there's this cooperativo right at the kind of main piazza where the fountain is as you enter into the little pedestrian area. And we go in.
It was the place to go.
It was perfect. It had all the farm information. And
so it was a shop that a few farms got together, a few cheesemakers got together and opened up a shop in town. And it was the place to go because only Caciocavallo.
Yeah.
And people going in and out constantly.
And like three oldies sitting outside watching the whole thing.
Yeah. So
the doorman.
We go in there and there's, there's a line. And let a couple people go because everyone's in there just getting, 300 grams, 500 grams. I want 10 whole forms. So, I wait and let a couple of people go by and then tell them what I want. And right away it was like, well, what are you doing with all this cheese? And
didn't say how much you wanted.
Oh, so I got 10, I got six of the big forms, which weigh about 2.5 kilos each. And then four of the little forms, because this is a great gift to give away. We have a lot of people to thank. Beppe Bianchini, who is right now tending to the baby tomatoes. something like this that you go down and get from there, is, you can't really find this around here. I mean, you could.
No, Italians do love Italy, and they love certain things from other regions. And Gaggi loves, he hates many things from any other parts of Italy, but he loves Caciocavallo.
So so this is not all for us. There's no. And we wouldn't serve this necessarily at our place because it's not anything that you'll find around here.
And there's definitely not one for your brother.
No, Zach, it's nothing. So this was just for gifts and for us. I'll keep a couple, but to give away. So it creates a big hubbub because for him to like get 10 forms together and you know.
A crowd starts forming.
Lots of questions.
Not only lots of questions, who are you, where are you from, you speak Italian, but how are you transporting all of this cheese? Do you have a car? To then the longer we're in there and the more we're talking, then it starts to become the recommendations.
So
everyone's got 2 cents.
At first we were just getting the Caciocavallo. Then this other guy with glasses and the mustache pipes, oh, well, if you're going to get Caciocavallo and you're only here and you're coming here just for cheese, you have to get this one. And it was like this Pecorino cow's milk mix, whatever. So, okay, we'll get this one. And then
he's also like, you got to let him try a sample of that. Give him a sample of this. And he starts like barking orders to the guy, the cheese guy behind the counter. And he's like, okay, try this. And more and more people.
There was the shot. By the time we left and had 2 boxes of cheese in our arms, there was the shop was packed. And the amount of blah, 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 blah going on was absolutely incredible and hysterical. And the conversations, and I could hear people behind me as they knew people would come in. I could hear them saying, what's going on here? Oh, 2 Americans are
exactly.
Here. Americans? What are Americans? They're buying up all the cheeses. And it's just like, oh my God, this is great.
It was. Because I went to the back and someone was like, and I was trying to just do a little video filming with the iPhone and not be very conspicuous. And she was like, where are you guys from? What is going on with all this cheese? And everyone, it was making its way through the shop. It was great.
So we load the cheese in the car and we head back down the off the spur, and we wanted to go and go further south. South of Bari. So interesting about Puglia. Out here, the landscape is different. Even in the flatlands, we're more in the hilly mountainous regions, but even in the flat farming lands of Marche, Emilia Romagna, Toscana, you will have fields with trees, then there'll be some trees around, and then there'll be farmhouses throughout the
farmland.
So whether they're in ruin or restored or whatever. Puglia is different. Puglia is just everyone lives in the towns, in the cities, or the towns, and there are no structure, or there are very few habitable structures throughout the farmland.
Mm-hmm.
There's no trees.
No.
And as you're coming off the from the hill, looking over Puglia, you just go, oh my God, the sun must just bake this to a like there's mm-hmm. no, it's just farm with no buildings, no structures, no nothing. Not very beautiful in my
there's some cool little trulies and things like that along the way, but like Jason mentioned, more beautiful was the produce. Or we forgot to mention, even driving down the kind of superstrada, the highway, we kept seeing the guy picking asparagus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we saw many, not just many people,
many
buckets, just walking along
the
road.
On the side of the superstrata.
Finding the asparagus, and I couldn't find any. When we were driving through up the mountain we were looking, but mm-hmm. I don't know what to look for.
We don't know what to look for. And we're doing it in the car.
Yeah.
Rolling through. And so then we stayed in Monopoly, which was really funny because the whole time we kept thinking it was Monopoly, and we would correct each other and be like, it's Monopoly.
It can't be
Monopoly. And then we go to our sweet little hotel where we stayed at Palazzo Brigante, and I'm talking to there's 2 people who are running it, and I'm talking to the woman, and she's very sweet. And I said, oh, are you from here? And she goes, oh, see, you know, I was born in Monopoly. And I was like, it's Monopoly? And she was like, yeah, just like the game. And I was like, oh my God. For some reason, towns can mess us up in the pronunciation.
Yeah.
You know, you get double P's and things like, is it San Ippolito or San Ippolito? And it can just drive you crazy.
No one can say Piobico.
No one can, for some reason, say Piobico. But it was, that was a cute little fishing town. And we were, got in, took a nap. I thought it would be a bit more like the Costa Brava in Spain, or parts of southern, or parts of Sicily, like Ortigia, Siracusa, and it really wasn't. It wasn't quite that.
You're talking. You
grand.
Just named two really touristy, like.
Well, no, I say it in the sense of they kind of sell it as whitewashed fishermen villages and things, and we've been to both those places off season, but I don't know. It just wasn't quite what I expected. It was a sweet little town.
There was a lot of English. There was a lot of English there. From what we were speaking with Gaji this morning, he said as you go further and further down the hill, all the way to the end, it's more and more beautiful. I didn't want to drive anymore.
No, and a girlfriend of mine who's lived down there had suggested go towards Lecce and get down into that tack. The point of the heel.
Yeah,
and
another trip.
That's another trip. But anyway, we took a little nap. It was a gorgeous afternoon. Went to go for an evening stroll back to the car to put a few things in. Oh, because Jason found the gorgeous garlic.
Oh yeah, I just found like kilos of this just beautiful. My garlic isn't ready yet, and it sure is not going to look like this. Just fresh garlic, beautiful.
He was like, "I need to get this," and we were too embarrassed to bring it back to the hotel room. Bed and breakfast that's like five rooms. It would have stunk it up for days. And they'd be like, "What were these two doing in here?" And so we go to take it back to the car, and sure enough, we pull up, and I was like, look, do you notice look at all of this activity. There was nothing going on when we had shown up earlier in the day, and all the boats were in, all the fishing boats.
They were arriving.
Mm-hmm.
And all the refrigerated vans were all waiting by each spot that tie up that each boat would stop. And for 30 minutes, as soon as those boats tied up, they are shoving crates of fish off and they're weighing it, and there's yelling and arguing, and it was chaos.
It was a total fisherman frenzy, and I was a little nervous because the farther south you go, the less you can kind of film and photograph and put, you know, a camera in people's faces. But Jason was like, you go walk around, and I'll hold back so it doesn't look like there's two of us, too. And I just tried to kind of stay out of sight, but you'd see this crazy interaction going on between the locals trying to buy fish, the vendors trying to buy the fish, the fishermen both selling and trying to clean the boat at the same time because it looked like some of them were going to flip the boat and possibly go back out that evening.
Oh, they did. They totally did.
And it
was none of it's weighed, so they're trying. So as they're unloading it, some of the vendors are trying to grab it, and the fishermen are freaking out because it's not weighed yet, or that's destined for another person. That's not yours. And then once it's weighed, and that you know all the tallies are counted, it went right into the refrigerated van, and literally you have these vans peeling out of the wherever they're going. They're going in a hurry,
mm-hmm.
And this was what. 4, 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
5 o'clock. So it's like, man, this is all for right now. And then sure enough, 30 minutes later, it's dead again.
Totally dead.
The boats shove off. All the vans are gone. The people are gone. And it's just this quiet port again. And then we walk.
When we say port, this town's so tiny. It's like the port is wrapped around the little parking lot. Like it wasn't much of a port.
No. They did have a little part off further down where they did bigger ships. There was big cranes to do rehabilitation, but this little part was small. So then we go and walk through town. It's the, you know, it's the time for the passeggiata. And the fish shops are packed.
Packed.
So everyone knows in this town, the fishermen come in at 5 and you get, because they ate later. They ate at like 9:30. We eat earlier in our area, about 8. I mean, even, you know.
Sometimes 7:30.
Sometimes 7:30 in the wintertime. It gets later in the summertime, but they do not eat till 9:30 down there. So At 5:30, there was lines out of every fish shop that we passed. And it's like, oh, my God, this came off the boat. It went to the fish shop, and it's going home right now. That is incredible.
It was great. I'm so glad we stumbled upon that. It was that was perfect. Exactly what I wanted to see, and you can't plan that either necessarily.
No, we did not know the boats were coming in. So we were planning on spending another day down there, but we drove all over the first day. It was hard to find, like we said, it's hard to find these little Haciende, the little one, and their hours aren't marked. And
so what is a frustrating thing, both as someone who owns a touristic business and someone who enjoys being a tourist, is the access to information here, whether it's festivals or even something like this, like finding DOC and DOP wineries or olive oils, or trying to find some of these producers. And you want to find obviously some of the more smaller ones to support them and see the real deal. And so luckily, unfortunately, what you have to do is you can do some half-assed or as much as you can research online before you come out here. But one of the most important things to do, and even in small towns, if they're open, is go into the information center, because they really will have the information if it is available. And in that tiny town, Monopoly, I still wanted to say Monopoly, we pop in and I said, you know, we're trying to find some olive oil frontoios, the mills and or presses and wineries where we can actually go. And she said, oh, sure, one second. And she handed me this beautiful map, perfectly detailed with all the information, hours of operation, websites, phone numbers, all of this for like 20 oleficios, olive oil farms and productions in the surrounding area. And I thought, oh my God, why couldn't I find this online? And it reminded me of, like, in our area, there's these great maps you can find from time to time of the small local artisan breweries that are popping up. If you try to search for that online, I've never seen it. Only when certain guests pop up with it, it's like, oh my God, where did you find that map?
Well, then so also the accuracy of the not being around there, you put in via whatever number 5 into your GPS, and it's not going to really take you exactly there. So we kind of tried one, or, you know, we tried one or two, and then it was just like, man, this is going to take forever. Mm-hmm. You've got to research these places, call ahead, make sure they're open at that time, make sure there's someone around, because this is not the, it's not the harvest time. It's kind of the, for winemakers, they've already pruned the vines, and
they've gone to Vin Italy in April.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of a slower time for them, and for the olive oil as well. It's not, so there might not be someone there, and it might be hard to find, even though we had this map, and the websites are no help.
No, but
so just keep that in mind. If you get out, if you go down to Puglia, it is interesting. The food, you will eat incredibly. It is a different Italy, but it's, you have to know that you're getting off the beaten path.
Exactly. It was fun. We'll definitely go back again and head farther south. Maybe we'll fly to Bari this time.
Or Brindisi,
I mean. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, switching gears.
You want to talk house?
House.
So it's that time. And we haven't really talked much about, actually, we haven't talked about this at all. But this winter, our contract expires here.
At Cacamone, after 10 or 11? 10?
10.
10 years, yeah. So our contract with Fusciani on the 31st of December will be expiring, and
no hard feelings. It's time. Like, sometimes people are curious, why would you leave or what happened? No, we've always had a great relationship with him. I mean, even for the hardcore podcast listeners who know what happened last year and that he was willing to work with us and, that whole crazy story, look it up if you want. But, he's got nephews and a son. He wants to let the house go back to his family and have them run an activity here again of an agriturismo, which we totally understand. He loves this area. He loves this house. He loves his family. And we're ready to move on too.
It's been 10 years. It's kind of like, after this point, it's either like, are we going to buy this house? Or are we going to do something? Like, it's just time.
It's time.
So we have begun the search for our next place.
We started it over the winter.
Talked about it. So it's been going on for a while. It seems like we've been doing nothing but running around looking at real properties for the last couple of years, for, whether it's for us or for other things. Or
some
whatever.
Things we've discovered about ourselves. We're gluttons for a horrible road. We live along a war-strewn up, like just deteriorating road already, 6 kilometers down this horrible, horrible road. And we find ourselves constantly down more dirt roads, gravel roads that are deteriorating and going, oh my God, this place is gorgeous. How much would it cost to fix 2 kilometers of road? It's like, what are we doing?
So we have an interesting dilemma. We love now not having, seeing your next door neighbor. I love it. I love being surrounded by just the
nature, the trees.
I know it sounds hippy dippy, but I don't like being in the flatland. I don't like being exposed. I like being nestled in little hills, which is lucky for us because the Paso Robino part of Marque up here is filled with little farmhouses nestled in hills. But because of that, because we don't want to see our neighbors, that means you're going to go down a road that's pretty effed up usually.
Yeah. It's consistent in the houses we're looking at for the most part, but it takes us through beautiful countryside. Every time we look at properties, it just reminds me how much I love this area.
Yesterday, we drove around a bit closer to the coast on the
Serengurina.
Say that 3 times fast.
Serengurina.
Yeah.
Near Cartocheta.
There you go. Near Cartocheta.
Do one that's a lot easier.
You can look that one up. But it's fun. It's interesting. It's making me nervous because I just want to find something already. But it's a big deal. We gotta choose wisely.
There's a lot of pretty places out there. It's just finding the right one.
Yeah. And we know exactly what we want. So we do dry runs. We look them up online. And we do dry runs. So we just rolled by 3 of them. We didn't talk to anyone. I mean, we've been in contact with the owners, but we didn't stop and chat or nothing. I just want to see how it's positioned, what it's around. Before we start.
Checking the road.
Yeah, checking
the road. Making sure it's shitty.
Shitty road? All right, good. Check. All right, check. So that's what we're going to do. Throughout until we find one.
Yep.
This isn't America.
We want to do it in May. Like we would like,
I would
to,
like
get this.
To get this squared away in May. So this, which is really funny because my brother who lives in New York City is looking for a new apartment and there, that's the complete opposite. You have to be ready to sign that day. You find the apartment. Great. We'll take it. Whereas this one is, oh my God, we can't wait till the last minute because that's not how life is here. We need 6 months to
transition and
not even transition, just things take time.
Oh,
there.
Absolutely.
Like you can't just walk into a place, great, we'll take it. No. What? No.
There's lots of coffees and wastes of time in between for sure.
So our little break is coming to an end. It's time to get back to business. The season is officially starting.
Yes.
Not that it hasn't officially started, but the summery season.
Guests are arriving soon for one of my favorite packages we do, Made in La Marque, where we celebrate the fish from the coast to the sea. Oh, I said the same thing. From the coast to the mountains, the food that's found in the woods, and the cheeses and wines and craft beer. And we just do a whole kind of montage of La Marque and kill them with all the great stuff we've got in this area. So we've got a bunch of guests coming for that. And it's just a great one because why I say it's one of my favorites is people always just think everything good comes from Tuscany or from Emilia Romagna and the prosciutto di Parma. And it's like, no, we've got it down here too. It's just called something different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to share that with others.
Coming up this month, the end of this month or the beginning of next month is one of my favorite things. Is it a holiday?
Saint's
Day, right?
Yeah, religious holiday.
It's a religious holiday. It's called La Fiorita. I'm sure it's got a saint attached to it. I just don't know. But what it is in most towns in Italy, they will make designs out of flower petals and then have a procession through it. And it's absolutely gorgeous.
So they'll decorate the streets through the town in a mix of religious symbols like the Eucharist and the chalice and the the cross and big stars and, you know, a lot of things like that. And then the priest will say mass and walk through and break the flowers and with the procession of the rest of the village following as he does mass. And it is religious or not, just the beauty of the and artistry of the time it takes for people to make these incredibly detailed ornate designs, especially if you go to like, no, I was going to say it's in, Sicily. I forget. I can't.
It doesn't matter. This podcast doesn't have real information.
So there's some good places out there and they will just, it's just incredibly ornate. The, what they'll do with these flower petals. And our area has gotten a bit poorer and cheaper at times. And the last
sawdust,
they
right?
were using like beauty bark, colored beauty bark.
Colored sawdust or wood chips during the crisi.
Exactly.
So hopefully this year the real
the
flowers,
petals are back. The exactly. petals will come back.
But if you're interested, Google it. La Fiorita.
Gorgeous. All over Italy. First weekend of June.
Is it always the first weekend
I think so.
June?
First Sunday.
Oh, Zach will be here for that.
Oh.
Oh. We'll have to go. We'll have to take him to that. Okay, good. All right. Anything else? What else you got?
I think that's about it. Make sure to be checking out the vlog. The last few episodes were some things we just talked about of the our caddy, in case you missed it. Picking that up in Bologna and getting back to work.
Not caddy as in Cadillac.
No, but I like calling it the caddy. It is called the caddy. But and getting back to work in the kitchen with the cooking classes and the bottling of the wine. Check it out on YouTube, Vlog from Italy.
All right. We've already done 40 minutes. We'll do a chat.
I'll read next time.
Yeah, we got tons of stuff to do today.
All right. Sounds good. Have a great Sunday, everyone.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. Bring us home.
All right. You know where to find us. La Tavola Marche, LataVolaMarche. Facebook at La Tavola Marche, Twitter, YouTube, all of it. You can send us an email at info@latavolamarche.com or find me on Instagram at Ashley Bartner.
All right, the weather is deteriorating. I have to put on another sweater, and it's time to get to work. Thank you so much for listening from beautiful Piobico, Italia, where we live in the surrounded by green and hill and
gorgeous Marche
and the beautiful Marche. Every time you leave, it just even going down south, it reminds me how much I love this area.
All right, we're cheesy. Ciao, ciao.
Thank you.